First of all, I'd like to say thank you so much for your support and the prayers. We survived there for 3 years because of your prayers. Someone says that no army, regardless of their strength, can survive long without support and the supplies. So thank you so much for your support. We lived in Malawi for 3 years. We were trying to reach out to the Yaho people with love and friendship. The Yaho people of Malawi, they are about 2 million. And about 95% are Sunni Muslims. And the Yaho people of Malawi are mainly subsistence farmers and the fishermen. And polygamy among the Yahoos is common. They are Muslims, and one man can have two wives, three wives. And HIV has been a serious problem in Malawi. About 25% of the population has HIV. And the Yao people of Malawi face daily challenges of poverty, including hunger, limited access to education. And also they have another problem about the international aid. International aid to Africa increases poverty and the decreasing economic growth of the poor countries. In Malawi, the international aid do more harm than good. They are pretending to support the poor, but honestly, I don't know if we can go to the PowerPoint. Yes. So the international aid to Africa, this is what they are doing. They are pretending. Like in Africa, in Malawi, where we live in the south of Malawi, there are more than 100 no-profit organizations from America, from Europe, from everywhere in Mangochi, where we stay. And those no-profit organizations, what they are doing, the local people, the Yaho people, every 2 months, they are receiving food for free, they are receiving clothes for free, they are receiving even money for free. Now the big problems for the local people, now they don't want to work. They don't want to fish. They don't want to farm. They want just to receive. And those no-profit organizations from America, from Europe, they have 1,000 ways to help the poor, but they don't want. They don't want to leave Africa. What they are doing is like, if I am going to give you my skills, it means that you are not going to need me anymore. So it means that I'm going to lose my job. So they don't want to lose their jobs. This is what's happening in Africa. So in Mangochi, even in the different villages, you may see a lot of prostitutes because they don't want to work. They want an easy life. They want just to receive. And it's very sad because Malawi is a peaceful country. In the south of Malawi, there are about 4 big lakes. Lake Malawi, Lake Chowe, 4 big lakes. So the Yao people, they have land, they have water. What they need people to go there to teach them how to fish, to teach them how to work, to teach them how to do different things. But those no-profit organizations, they can see the physical need of the local people, but they don't want to to support the local people. They don't want to help the poor. They want the poor to depend on them, just to be the beggars always on them. So this is happening in Africa and also in Malawi. There is one Chinese proverb says that give a man a fish and you feed him a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. God led my wife Joyce and I to begin teaching the Yao people how to make mandazi. Mandazi is a fried bread. My wife Joyce and my goal was to teach the Yao people how to make mandazi for both food and as a way to launch mandazi-based businesses that they can provide financially for all their families. And also my wife is a tailor. He was able to teach some Yao women to sew, to give them a sense of hope because they are hopeless, they are poor. We were trying to meet the physical need of the local people because we do understand the poverty. Here in this country, we are so blessed, but we don't know how much God loves us. So we were trying to meet the physical, their physical need, because we do understand the poverty. Because even myself, I was born into a poor family. We used to have 1 meal a day. For example, in the civil war in Burundi, because Burundi and Rwanda was one country, then later was divided by the Belgium. So in Rwanda, they have two tribes, the Hutu and the Tutsi. Even in Burundi, we have two tribes. In the civil war, more than 1 million people were killed. Even myself, I lost most of my relatives in the civil war. So we do understand the poverty. That is the one reason I may say that God doesn't want suffering, but he may allow it for a greater purpose. Because if I could not suffer in Africa, I could not go to Africa, to Malawi, to preach the gospel. But because I suffered, and what happened to me, because I remember after the civil war, my sister was sick, and my mom didn't have the money to buy the medicine for my sister, and she passed away. The suffering of my family was very heavy on my heart. You know? So, but what happened to me in Africa, I can say that God was prepared me for his mission. And about the spiritual need, we were trying to give them hope, because they are hopeless. And when you don't have hope, sometimes it's very hard to see the picture of God. So we were trying to give them hope. So this is what we were trying to do in Malawi. We made the disciples. We made the disciples, and we encouraged them to use their gift. And they did. Because now the Yao people, they have their own church. They can hear the message of God in their own language. So this is what we're trying to meet the physical need and the spiritual need for the local people. But I'd like to say thank you so much for your support. And I am going to do the preaching. The preaching we are going to read in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 2. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 2. the Bible says he told them the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Amen. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There are many lost who need to be found. Before I became a believer, I was hopeless. I didn't have a hope. Because I used to smoke drugs, you know, and my heart was far from God. And God used one of my friends to save me. And now I'm so happy, you know. That is the one reason I love God. Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the workers are few because many churches have lost sight of God's call to go and make disciples. Now, in Brisbane, many churches are closing. Very sad. Are closing. It is not enough just to come to know Christ personally and to attend the church. Jesus is calling you also to make disciples of others. 3 years ago, when we went to Africa in Malawi, we made the disciples and we encouraged them to use their gift, and they did. Mike says, if you make disciples, you always get the church. But if you make a church, you really get disciples. How to get disciples? We made disciples. Now the Yahoo people, they have their own church. And the local people, they can hear the message of God in their own language. They have their own church because we made disciples. That is the one reason it is not just enough to come to know Christ personally and to attend the church. Jesus is calling you to make disciples of others. We need to preach the gospel. We need to give hope to our neighbors, because don't wait for people in need to come to you. We need to go to them. And also it is important that you be a witness for Jesus Christ by your actions. 3 years ago, when we went to Africa in Malawi, I went with my old Christian books because I was thinking that to read more Christian books would help my wife and I to do better our ministry. But later we came to realize that ministry is not about our titles. Ministry is not about our knowledge. Ministry is about us, how we live with people, how you live with your neighbors. Because I am ordained as a Baptist minister, you know, here in Queensland. Ministry is not about our titles. And then I came to realize that many unsaved people, they are ready to become believers when they can see the love of God in us. Amen. I wanted to give you one example, one story about Desmond Tutu. I think you know Desmond Tutu. Desmond Tutu and Trevor, I don't know about him, Trevor. The story how Desmond Tutu met this man. He met Trevor when he was 9 years old. I wanted to read the story. Trevor was born in 1913 into a privileged background in England. He was ordained in a. He was ordained in 1937, and the community in England sent Trevor to South Africa in 1943. Apartheid became official policy in 1948 in South Africa. This is about Trevor. And Desmond Tutu was one of South Africa well-known human rights activists, winning the 1948 Nobel Peace Prize for his effort in resolving and ending apartheid. Desmond Tutu remembered meeting Trevor when he was 9 years old. The way Trevor treated Tutu's mother, who was a cook at a women's hostel. Tutu said, "I was standing with my mother on the hostel veranda when this tall white man in a flowing black cassock swept past. He doffed his hat to my mother in greeting. I was quiet, taken aback. A white man raising his hat to a black woman. Such things didn't happen in real life. I learned much later that the man was a father, Trevor." When Tutu saw that, he was 9 years old, and he approached his mother. He said to his mother, "Who's this man?" And his mother said to Tutu, "This is the father, Trevor." And Tutu said to his mother, "I want in the future to serve the Lord. I want in the future to become a priest." Tutu was inspired by Trevor's actions. He saw the picture of God in that man. And more than 20 years later, Tutu became a great man. He's well known around the world because of Trevor. He was inspired by the Trevor. The love of Jesus Christ is not just a word, but actions. Through your act of care and kindness, you will show them that God cares for them also. Amen. So when we went to Malawi, I spoke to my wife, what we need to do. We need to give hope to these people. We need to train. We need to give them our skills. And we did. People in need are God-given opportunities for us to reach out and to touch them with the love of Jesus Christ. But when we are reaching our neighbors, sometimes we need to recognize the barriers. Sometimes it is not easy to reach out to your neighbors. You may have to come to cross than a fence to reach out to your neighbors. Because between Christians and the non-Christians, there are many unseen barriers. And the barriers can be on both sides. On the Christian side, there can be the church culture over business, busy, over business with church activities, isolation, and no real vision for the lost. If the church doesn't have a real vision for the lost, that is bad. I remember in Logan Central. I lived in Logan Central for 17 years. 20 years ago in Logan Central, in Brisbane, especially in Logan, there were many African people, many African people, refugees. They came to Logan from different refugee camps in Africa. We were more than 10,000 people in Logan. But many churches, especially leaders, Christian leaders, they didn't want to reach out to the refugees. Even those refugees who tried to go to the different churches, they didn't fit in. Because some Christians were against them. They used to tell us that, you know, especially leaders, they used to tell us, do you know, you guys, we are losing our members because of you, because our members are telling us your smell is bad. Leaders, you know, it was painful for us. We wanted to go to the churches, but the other Christians were against us, and we were told by the leaders, we are losing our members because of you, because your smell. People is need are God given opportunities for us, for you to reach out and to touch them with the love of Jesus Christ. If they smell bad as a leaders, what we need to do? We need to teach them how to use the washing machine. We need to teach them how to use the perfume. We need to teach them how to use the soap. That is the one reason. If the church doesn't have a real vision for the lost, is bad. And on the Christian, on the non-Christian side, there can be the image of the church as being boring, with nothing to offer. But we as Christians, we need to build a bridge. Don't wait for people in need to come to you. We need to go to them. Like how Trevor reached the African people. They loved him because he was humble. He was born into a privileged background in England, but he was trying to close the gap between him and the African people. And when Desmond Tutu saw that, he was inspired. He asked his mother, I wanted to know about this man. And his mother said that this man came to South Africa to preach the gospel to us, to the African people. And Desmond Tutu said to his mother, in the future, I wanted to serve the Lord. When unsaved people will see the picture of God in you, they will come to us. They wanted to see the picture of God and the love of God in us. As Apostle Paul says, we are the letter of Christ, and the people are watching us. And save the people watching us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Even myself, when I'm preaching the gospel, I'm so happy, because I can see where I came from. When my sister passed away, then I began to smoke drugs, because I was trying to seek something could help me to don't see our suffering. I didn't find it, and I began to smoke drugs. My heart was far from God, because it was hard, you know. But by God's grace, God used another person to save me, and now I'm a Christian. We needed to go, because nowadays people look happy outside, but underneath they have all kinds of need, physical and spiritual need. We need to go to them. Don't wait for them to come to us, but we need to go to them. Amen. So we are planning to go back to Malawi next month in July. Thank you so much for your prayers. And we still need your prayers because to live in Malawi, it is not easy. It's very tough. But now we are so blessed because we have the Downs, because now Tim is the team leader of the team. Because for us, we are so blessed. Because Tim, they do understand African culture. They do understand the poverty. For Joyce and I, we are so happy to, you know, to have like the team leader as Tim and the Downs. So we are going in July, and we will keep focusing, discipling the new believers. And my wife will keep training some the local women to sow, to give them a sense of hope. This is the project that we are going to do. My wife, Joyce, is going to do this year, next year, in 2 years, the project, a sowing project. So you are welcome to support my wife's project. If you have $1, $2, you are welcome. Because before we had the 2 sewing machines, but our target, our vision, desire is to have 10 sewing machines so that every year we can try to train about 20 women how to sew. Because we wanted to give hope to the African people. We wanted to give our skills. Because other organizations, they have a lot of skills, but they don't want to give it to the local people. Because they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to leave Africa. This is the big problem Africa we are facing. Those are no-profit organizations. They want people to depend on them, to be like the beggars. That is the one reason. We lived there for 3 years. We didn't face any opposition for the local people, for the Muslims, because they told us, we know you guys that you are Christians. We know you guys that you are missionaries. But you are different to others because you are trying to give us hope. You are giving us your skills. Thank you so much. I finish my preaching, and God bless you.
Thanks so much, Jean-Claude, for reminding us. We've been on a journey this month, encouraging our own people to be brave and to speak. You're doing it across a different culture. Let's take a moment just to pray for Jean-Claude and his family today. Lord, I want to thank you for my brother who has come to encourage us, Lord, both by his words and his example. And we pray as him and Joyce goes back with their family next month, really ask, Lord, that you will provide for them as you go forward. Lord, as you already have done, we pray that you would pave the way ahead. We pray your anointing on them, Lord, that they would have opportunity to continue to be successful in the training up of others and making disciples. I pray that you will protect them. Lord, protect them from sickness, disease. Lord, surround their family with wellness and health. I pray that you will protect them from accident or injury as well. I pray that you will protect them from any harm, from ill intent toward them. Lord, guard their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would be with their thoughts as well. When they're discouraged, Lord, may you just speak peace and truth into their hearts. Father, when they have opportunity, give the words they speak power. And we pray for a revival in that place. Thank you for the team. And Lord, we continue to pray for their ongoing support and strength, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jean-Claude will hang around a bit, I'm sure, and you can chat to people around morning tea time, and that would be really good to be filled in more if you have personal questions or extra details. So as I said, we've been on a bit of a journey, and it's very, very important that we understand this calling that is on every believer to have a heart for the gospel and for the lost. And most of the time, it's not hard to do if you just be you and just let the love of God shine in you. Speak when you have an opportunity. Please this week be committed to prayer, and I want to encourage you into that as we pray that God would do a work among us. We're going to